Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for January 31st, 2016. This week's sermon is titled, Powers.
A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 9 through 25. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. This is the word of the Lord.
One of the draws or features of Star Wars is that those who begin to connect with the Force get powers. All kinds of powers, you know. That's one of the cool things about Star Wars is people get powers to do things that are supernormal, supernatural, that they can use to travel or project their lives or make their lives better or clear things up or choke their enemy, you know, things like that. A few of those things are telekinesis, one of the powers that are given, the ability to move things. Another one is Force lightning. Wouldn't you like that power some days? You know, when your kid is really annoying you, or your spouse, just call some Force lightning down on them. Another one is the mind control, the Jedi mind trick, is another, to control another person's thoughts. Boy, wouldn't you like to do that when you're having a big argument with somebody and they're just wrong, you know, they're just being stupid. And you just like, I mean, I just like to control some politicians, just get in their brain and fix their thoughts, you know, stop the insanity. Astral projection, force ghost. It's another thing, another power that's in, and of course, precognition, to know things before they happen, one of the powers. Now, Jesus never said that we would have telekinesis or Force lightning or mind control or astral projection, or we would have these kinds of things at our disposal. But Jesus did make it very clear, and we see in our text today, it was very clear that there was benefit to acknowledging the person of the Holy Spirit, that there were powers involved. You know, Jesus never said, this is interesting to me, Jesus never said, "Receive the Holy Spirit because I told you so." Receive the Holy Spirit, it will make me happy. Receive the Holy Spirit because I love him and I like him and you receive him. Or where it's off between me and you. In fact, we see through the book of Acts that people put their faith in Christ who never knew who the Holy Spirit was. And God's grace was fine with that. God was cool with that, that he loved people, accepted people. There's a guy named Apollos that said the disciples pulled him aside and explained to him the way more perfectly. And Apollos was already preaching, and he was probably doing God's work. But there was another dimension available. I remember this story about Billy Graham many years ago when he was first starting his ministry, and his preaching had no power, and he wasn't having the results that he wanted, and he was very frustrated. And he went to Wales to preach, and there was a Welsh preacher named Stephen Alford. Stephen Alford later came to the United States. I'm pretty sure he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but Stephen Alford was a very powerful preacher, and did a lot of, you could go, I never made it to one of those, but there were preaching conferences you'd go to that he ran. Well, Billy Graham began to share his frustration with Stephen Alford. And so Stephen Alford took him, I don't know what he told him, I don't remember the story, I don't think it even said that he told him, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit or anything like that, but they just went away. They just went away to a cabin somewhere or a place, cottage or something, and spent several days in prayer. And Billy Graham described in one of his writings a moment when there was a force that came into his life. And he began to praise God and rejoice and weep. His ministry was never the same after that. His ministry was never the same. He began to preach and people began to receive Christ. So the Holy Spirit is pictured in the Bible, in the New Testament, and the Gospels as a dove. The Holy Spirit is gentle. The Lord does not force him on us. He does not say, you gotta know this, you gotta receive the Holy Spirit. I won't love you anymore, you're not going to heaven. The Bible says no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him. So the Holy Spirit is active in your life, whether you have acknowledged him and received him or not. He's still active in your life. But the Holy Spirit is always for our benefit. Matthew 1:20, we see the Virgin Mary conceiving Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 1:15, there's a foretelling that John the Baptist will have a very successful public ministry because of the power of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. In Luke 26, none of my kids got that. They came out. We had to work on them, and they didn't come out full of the Holy Ghost. In Luke 2:26, we see man in the temple recognizing the child Jesus was the Messiah, the Bible says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, it declared that Jesus had joy. This surprised me in my scripture search, that Jesus had joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus couldn't just have his own joy. He had to get his joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus foretells that the Holy Spirit will be our counselor and our teacher. I like the King James word, comforter. The Greek word is parakletos. It means one who comes along beside to help. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you will receive power. You will have power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In Acts 8:20, which we read today, which Scott so capably read, Simon Peter calls the Holy Spirit the gift of God. Peter answered him, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. The gift of God. So the invitation, the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit is always an invitation to your benefit. The introduction to the Holy Spirit is always inviting, welcoming. I love the word winsome. I never looked it up to see exactly what it means. I just love the way that word rolls off my tongue, winsome. The Holy Spirit, the invitation to receive the Holy Spirit is winsome. It's winning. It's pleasant. It's appealing. It's always inviting. It's desirable and even irresistible. Did you notice that through the book of Acts? Never did they tell the people, have you heard about the Holy Spirit? Nah, we don't want that. The people never turned it down, and the Holy Spirit never turned them down. Nobody in the book of Acts ever didn't receive the Holy Spirit. They all received the Holy Spirit. That's the pattern today. I believe that's still the pattern, that everybody gets it. It's a gift of grace. The invitation to know the Holy Spirit is always an invitation to benefit. First of all, the Holy Spirit is an indweller. And this baptism that we talk about was all only offered to Christians. Secondly, there's not one instance, as I said before, of the offer being turned down. Thirdly, there's not one instance of believers not receiving. I just already made that point. The power of the Holy Spirit is the most attractive force in the church, in the world, in the church, I meant to say, and by extension, in the world. It is the most attractive force. The Holy Spirit is the action of God. We're going to talk about some things in a minute that have been happening. Because sometimes, you know, we have a, and I guess I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but sometimes we have life is hard. And we have problems, and we suffer, and there's pain, and there's disappointment, and there's heartache, and there's unanswered prayer. And so you can kind of feel like, oh, the people in the Book of Acts, they had the Holy Spirit. We don't have it today, because you can tell me the people that got cancer, and you can tell me the people that died, and you can tell me the financial, you can all tell me a lot of unanswered prayer today here. And so, but if we took and wrote down everything that happened that was great and amazing and super normal, we would find that we're also living in the Book of Acts. But because we don't do it that way, because we're constantly writing down all of our problems and our sorrows and our pain, what would we call our book? The Acts was the Acts of the Holy Spirit. What would we call ours? The Acts of the Devil. Steve, we would write a book called The Acts of Satan. that would be what we would do, because I'm the same way. I focus on the negative. I think about what's not. I mean, it's you know, I know we got all these youth gone and all the workers gone, but I still look at it today, and what do I see? Empty seats. You should be upset with me about that, because you're here. That's human nature. But if we would just begin to think about it, if you follow the activity through the Spirit, through the Book of Acts, it's so associated with the supernatural, we also have the supernatural. And I thought of this. You know, sometimes we're afraid of the Holy Spirit, because if we've been around a while, we've probably been in places where people were attributing things they were doing, especially in a public meeting, to the Holy Spirit, and it was questionable whether that was really the Holy Spirit. You know, how many of you read my blog, The Holy Spirit and the Chicken Lady? You know what I mean? I can take it that you don't read my blog. I can take that. I feel really strong this morning. I can take that. But you should read it. You should read it. The Holy Spirit and the Chicken Lady. Since you didn't read it, I got another sermon illustration I can tell. We used to have a little lady, 4 foot something, in my church when I grew up as a kid. And when the service would get good, and the singing would go in, and all things would happen, she would start running laps around the building, around the inside of the building. Now, that sounds weird to you, but that happened all the time in my home church in Farmersville, Texas. All the time. You guys see the thing on the news about the fire truck that ran through the Dairy Queen? Did y'all see that news? How many saw that? So that Dairy Queen was across the street, and it's still across the street from the Farmersville Assemblies of God. If that fire truck would have come through at the right time, half of that church would be wiped out, because that's where they all go after church. I used to, when I was a kid, I was like 12, 13, I liked a girl in the church named Linda Jolly. And Daryl Goforth liked Linda Jolly. That was the pastor's son. So I would watch him, and when he was going over to get money from his mother to take Linda to the Dairy Queen, I would take her to the Dairy Queen. So that was the Dairy Queen, and that was the, I could tell stories all day about things happening at church. So the Chicken Lady would start wrapping the building, going, chee, 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 chee. We're just home folks today. See, the critics are gone to youth retreat. So we're going to have a little fun today. This is not in the notes, and this is going to lengthen the sermon. I'm sorry, but you're going to enjoy it. The chicken lady dips snuff. Okay, she dips snuff. And everybody knew it. Of course, some of us knew that she couldn't have the Holy Spirit dipping snuff. A lot of Southern women dipped snuff back in the day. Because if you got an injury, a cut or something, it was great medication. Your aunt, my aunt, which is, I remember getting stuck by bumblebees, my aunt just took some snuff out of her mouth. Healed it like that. So I remember she would call the pastor and he would come and pray for her to get deliverance from dipping snuff. And one day, Pastor Goforth went out there and he took this can of snuff and he threw it out in the pasture behind her house. And later in the day, she got to craving it and she went out there crawling around on her hands and knees till she found it. So that was a chicken lady. So a lot of people do things in churches throughout the years that they will attribute to the Holy Spirit that I think is really questionable is the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice something in the book of Acts. Aside from the day of Pentecost, perhaps, when the Holy Spirit showed up, it never caused people to mock. It caused them to stand in awe. Gratitude and awe was the response when the Holy Spirit showed up because it benefited and blessed people. It made lame people walk. It made broken and sinful people become forgiven and healed of their sin. That's what the Holy Spirit did. And, you know, let me say this. The Holy Spirit is the action of God in the earth. The Holy Spirit is the finger of God in the earth. So the Holy Spirit, see, one of the reasons we don't recognize the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't say, look at me. The Holy Spirit is a person who always points us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit never says, look, the Holy Spirit did this. It's always God did it, Jesus did it. So we miss the supernatural things that happen among us. You know, I know we've had a lot of sickness. I've been sick. And we may miss the fact that people are being healed in our church. A few months ago, when was that, Melissa? I can't see you out there. Where are you? Wave your hand. When was that you were that the doctor found a mass on your lower abdomen? About a year ago, Melissa Dupree back here, the doctor found a mass on her lower abdomen, and you know that's not good, right? And I called him up and said, "Can I come over and pray for you?" And I took the anointing oil, and I went over to Melissa and Paul's house, and I laid hands on her, anointed her with oil, and I prayed for her. And I don't consider myself to have a healing ministry. I've had so many people die that I'm hesitant to pray for anybody. Because I'm not, you know. So if anything happens through me, it's got to be God. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. And just quickly, Melissa, tell us, the doctor saw the mass, right? No, Melissa teaches nursing at Worcester State College. So she knows what she's seeing when she sees an x-ray. And we prayed. Just briefly, tell the congregation what happened after we prayed.
Came over, and let me just back up and say I had a CAT scan that showed the mass, and Pastor Phil came over between that time and the period that I was waiting to have a PET scan, which was a little bit more, pinpointing. And as he prayed for me, it was very simple. I was sitting on the couch, and my husband and my parents were there, and Pastor Phil, and he laid hands on me. And while we were praying, I felt this warm sensation as if a bottle of oil was just flowing through the cavity of my abdominal region. And I didn't say anything. I didn't tell my parents. And just as a side note, I've been raised in church. I've been raised in the Assemblies of God, and I've seen healing. And I had never experienced it. And everybody had kind of gone to bed, and Paul and I were cleaning up the kitchen. And I said, "I need to tell you something without you thinking I'm crazy." And I said, "I felt this sensation flow through me, and I feel like I've been healed. But one of the things during this whole ordeal that came to me was a struggle of the mind. And my mother kept reminding me of a scripture that said, "He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And I began to dwell on his presence and in his spirit. And we went for the PET scan. And immediately following the PET scan, we saw the doctor at Dana-Farber. And he was one of those people that you couldn't read. And he came and he sat down and he pulled the screen up. And he's looking and I'm looking and I'm like, "I don't see anything. Do you see anything?" And he said, "I'm really not sure." He said, "Let me just step aside." So instead of a regular screen monitor, he went to the back. And what he didn't tell me is that he pulled in two other physicians. And on one screen was the CAT scan where they located that mass. And on the other screen was the PET scan. And it was gone. And he came back and he said, "I have no explanation for you." And I looked and I said, "But I do."
Amen. You see, we don't think we're living in the book of Acts. We don't think we're living in the book of Acts because we think about the bad things that happen. Well, look at the book of Acts. If you really read the book of Acts someday just for the bad things, it's full of bad stuff. They're getting killed. They're losing their homes. It's not all miracles. But the miracles are there. The Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not here to give us Disneyland. He's here to give us a friendship with God. The Holy Spirit is really here to bring us into the nearness of God because Disneyland is waiting in the world to come. But for now, there's going to be suffering, there's going to be problems, there's going to be trials, but sprinkled in between the trials and the suffering, there's going to be incredible supernormal things that you will not realize or experience unless you begin to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to just share another quick little story here today. I guess I don't need to hold that, do I? I'm standing beside George Gurgis here. Now, he's got the expanded version of this, but I'm just going to give the Reader's Digest version. I'm just going to give the headline version of this. He's been witnessing to a guy at work named Eric, been sharing Christ with Eric. Now, George is from Egypt. George was raised in a Muslim community. If you want to know more about the Muslim religion, and what that's all about, George knows. A guy he knew was one of the men, the 21 guys who were beheaded when ISIS first began to go on the rampage. But George began to witness this guy at work named Eric. Now, a couple of weeks ago, his phone is laying on his desk, and his phone comes on by itself. And to make the long story short, several things happened to the phone. But a scripture came up on the phone, and it began to be highlighted on the phone without him touching the phone. Now, George is a web developer, and so he called Eric over. Now, the scripture was 1 Thessalonians 3:5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." And so he called Eric over. And now what happened after that?
Friday, which was 2 days ago, he came back and he said, "George, can you tell me what this means?" So I walked with him. I want to talk in front of people. This is the first time.
Holy close.
First time we talk about God the last 6 years. So well, I walk and I said, "Just God, you need to leave everything and come right now. I need your help." That's what I told God. So we talked together. He shared it with his wife. And this is the first time I feel like Eric is open than ever.
How many believe the Holy Spirit could cause a phone to come on and illuminate a scripture that would tell a man about the love of God? I'm telling you, we're living in the supernatural. I mean, Tina Hamill, this was a couple weeks ago, that they had lost the key to Stephanie's car. They had lost the key to Stephanie's car. Stephanie, they needed to get her the key to the car so she could go back to college at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And she was going crazy, running all over this building looking for those keys, couldn't find it. She gets in her car, driving down the road. She gets on the phone with Paige Betty, and Paige Betty, they begin to pray on the phone looking for those keys. And she's down at the corner of Hartford Avenue. This is unbelievable. At the corner of 140 in Hartford Avenue, she looked to her left, and there in the middle of the road was the keys. Amen? How it got there? Well, I don't know. Boy, when you really start thinking about it, it's the Holy Spirit's all over our lives. You know, as you know, I haven't tried to make you feel that I faced my cancer and surgery with any bravado whatsoever. I was terrified a lot of times, and my faith would come and go. And the morning of surgery, I asked the Lord to give me a verse, and I felt like He gave me the verse when He spoke to Gideon, where Gideon, He said to Gideon, "Gideon, be at peace. You will live and not die." And so that's what I went in. I went over to the hospital with that verse. Fell peace. You will live and not die. And all along the way, I began to pray this prayer as I would go to all these tests and different things, because I believe angels are messengers of God. And I would say, "God, send me an angel." And anytime I would go in and I would be afraid or I would be upset or depressed, I would say, "Lord, send me an angel today." And every single time. So that was my prayer that day also. And so we got in the room. They put us in this like pre-op room, and Sherry was there with me, and you know, I'm getting ready for getting prepared and all this stuff. And I kind of half joke with Sherry. I said, "Sherry, you're my pastor today. You got to pray for me." And she prayed a beautiful prayer. But then the door came open. There's a lady. She's not such a young lady anymore. She's probably 37, 36. I don't know. But her name is Renee Grant. Now, I've known Renee Grant since she was a little girl. I played the piano for her for fine arts competition when she was 12 in Western Mass, because she and her dad pastored in Huntington, and we pastored down the hill in Westfield. The door burst open. There's Renee Grant. I hadn't seen her in a long time. She was the chaplain on duty at the hospital. This is real. This is real, friends. I remember so many years ago over in the gym, and Jason had just started leading worship. And obviously you could see there was talent there. But boy, he was rough around the edges though. And it's a long story. That is a too long of a story to tell how that came about. But I remember we had like a curtain, so I would walk back there before I would preach, and they were still leading. And Jason, anytime I would talk to him, I never ever thought he would be a preacher in myself. And I never pushed that. I wanted him to go make money, honestly. And I knew this is not the way to do it. But I'm backstage, and the Holy Spirit whispered, "He's going to be a pastor. He's going to preach." And I started to cry backstage because it was so real. I never told anybody. I never didn't tell Sherry. I sure didn't tell Jason. And I've watched that thing happen. I watched his heart change. I'm telling you, you want to do this. You want to ask the Holy Spirit into your life. You want to start getting on His channel. You know, Sherry and I know you're not going to feel sorry for me when I tell you this, but Sherry and I just got back from a cruise, and Elise and Elise's cousin Brooke went with us. And it was a wonderful cruise, all kinds of Christian musicians. And so I don't know if you know what K-Love is, but the K-Love cruise, and Matthew West and Chris Tomlin, and who's my favorite guy? Sherry, help me. Crowder. Crowder is my favorite. And it was an awesome time with over 3,000 Christians on this boat. And as we got up 5 o'clock yesterday morning, and as we were leaving, Brooke smashed the cabin door on her hand. And those things closed very tight. And it looked like it might be broken. She was in all kinds of pain. So we had to go down to the theater where we had to meet and to offboard the ship. So we went to our place and got in line first. But then Sherry goes back to one of the lounges and said, "Give me some ice." There's a guy standing right there beside her said, "What happened?" Tell them what happened. So my wife's an ER nurse, and she's sitting right, I mean, ER doctor. My wife's an ER doctor, and she's sitting right there. She examines her, determines that it's not broken, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm telling you, we're living in the supernatural. We're living in the, we have received the powers of the Holy Spirit. Everybody, what you don't know, if you're a spirit-filled person, you think everybody lives like this. Everybody in the world doesn't live like this. Everybody in the world doesn't live like this. You are privileged. You are privileged to receive the gift, the gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. I could tell stories for 3 or 4 hours, literally. Recent stories, not 20 years ago stories. I could tell stories for 3 or 4 hours. Don't let the devil get in your head and tell you nothing's happening. God's not moving around here. That is a lie of Satan. Jesus is building his church. The Holy Spirit is moving in his church. It's an irrepressible, irresistible force that he's put in the church. We're not running the church. The Holy Ghost is running the church. I love these lyrics. If you listen to contemporary music, I mean, I love, you can tell, we like all kinds of music. And I do agree, the old hymns have great doctrine. But I tell you, some of the new stuff has some good doctrine too. I mean, listen to John Mark McMillan. And some of these lyrics are kind of obscure, so you ain't gonna get them. But the first one says, the geeks, they can smell you when you're coming. Even out in the cold, they'll wait you out. Yea, they'll grind you down. I think we know that, I understand that line, right? But they're going to get what they're owed. I know the red thread unravels. I know you're blue and you're black. But there's still time if you don't mind the way the odds are stacked. Dead in the water, lamb to the slaughter. If the wind doesn't sing her song and I'm speaking in tongues, because I need a Holy Ghost. What he's saying is life is rough. It beats you up. It's difficult. You need a Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Spirit to get you through. See, Simon got this right. The Holy Spirit is more benefit than obligation, more attractive than commanded. You can get to heaven without a special encounter with the Holy Spirit. Sure. You can also cross the Atlantic in a 26-foot powerboat, but you'd be much better off to go in a 1,000-foot ocean liner. You can get to heaven without acknowledging the Holy Spirit, without receiving Him. You can in this way that I'm preaching it. But you want to cross the Atlantic in a raft, or you want to cross it in a cruise liner? I'll take the cruise liner. You know, besides the fact that we miss the Holy Spirit because He points to Jesus, not Himself, we also miss Him because we don't own Him like a magician owns magic powers. The works of God are under the divine sovereignty of God. The powers of the Holy Spirit are not your property. If it was, we wouldn't go through some of this bad stuff. We would just get rid of it. And that's a whole other sermon series on why we suffer and why there are problems. That's a whole other thing. I don't have time to do it today. But if you think you'll never suffer, never have any loss, or you'll be able to magically bend every circumstance, every object, and every person to your will with this new power, you're in for disillusionment. I still have a fallen nature, so sometimes I want the wrong things. And the Holy Spirit says no. We often want the right thing, and I do, but we mess up the timing. And the Holy Spirit says slow. The scripture says, after we've suffered a while, the Lord will establish us. So some things are, yeah, I'm going to give it to you, but not yet. But there are those many amazing times when the Holy Spirit said, the desire is right, the timing is right. The Holy Spirit says, go. No, slow, go. If you will make all other pursuits in life secondary, see, after being filled with the Spirit to staying filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have more and more go moments in your life, by the way. But you don't own or boss the Holy Spirit. To be Spirit-filled, listen, this is very important, because the Holy Spirit has been so long presented as a liquid or a substance that you get filled with. So the term filled with the Spirit has become grossly misunderstood, because it's compared to taking cocaine or some drug, because there is tremendous joy in the Holy Spirit. But the word filled means controlled. It's to be controlled by the Holy Spirit.
You don't own the Holy Spirit. Filled means he owns and bosses you. He controls us. That's the actual meaning of the term spirit-filled. We don't use the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit uses us. Now, that's theology 101, that we come to Christ by giving the ownership of our life, the sovereignty of our life, over to God, and we recognize that his wisdom is greater than ours, and we begin to live a life of trust. We begin to live a life of trust, and we put him in charge of our life. We don't use the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses us. See, sorcery, let's look at Simon for a minute. Sorcery is another word for witchcraft. It means the working of magic with the assistance of the devil or evil spirits. So Simon the sorcerer that we just got read about, he said the people of, you know, it talked about he was a sorcerer. He practiced sorcerer, Acts 8, 9 through 25. He practiced sorcery in the city of, and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the great power." The people of Samaria literally thought that Simon the sorcerer was the impersonated power of God. But when he met the real power of the Holy Spirit, he knew he wasn't that. Simon, though, before that had followers, and they were called Simonians. According to Justin Martyr, a writer and mystic, who wrote in the first century, he said Simon had written in his own words, "I am the Word of God. I am Comforter. I am Almighty. I am all there is of God." That's what he thought of himself. But the Holy Spirit only creates followers of Jesus. He doesn't create followers of Pastor Phil or followers of Simon. He creates followers of Jesus. Simon wanted this power when he saw. Now, that's another reason we know the Holy Spirit was beneficial, because when he saw how people were reacting when they received the Holy Spirit, he wanted the power to give it away. He wanted to control it. He wanted to begin control it. And that's an example of church gone bad. That's an example of bad church, when people want to come in and control the church. When people want to come in and take advantage of the church structure, it's an example of the kind of person that Simon was. But the power of the Holy Spirit is not for the power. Let me say it this way. The power of the Holy Spirit has a primary purpose beyond our comfort or entertainment. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 15, verse 18. "I will not venture in to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles." And this is very important for where I'm going to close this sermon shortly. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. Notice how Paul's purpose of the Holy Spirit in his life was to lead the Gentiles to a relationship with Christ, to benefit them and bring them into the family of God. So from Jerusalem all the way through Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our life is that our lives become announcements of the good news. All those stories we told a while ago, it's not because God just wanted to give us magical power so we can make things levitate and we can find our keys and we can have phones come on and be amazed at that, and I can get comfort when I'm about to go in for surgery. That's a benefit, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is just so I become more and more convinced, and the purpose is so that this drama that the Holy Spirit has written in my life will be seen by others and known by others, and that God will be known and Christ will be known, and I will begin to benefit others and bring them into the family of God. God cares about nothing more than finding his lost children and bringing them back to him, back to relationship with him. When the Holy Spirit comes in, what did he say in Acts 1? "You will be witnesses unto me." That's what he said. The purpose for the powers of the Spirit are to cause you to benefit, bless, and bring back God's lost children back to his family. See, God loves to give his powers to those. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you what your focus must be. If your focus is, "I want to feel good," that's not good enough. If your focus is, "I want powers to impress others," that's not good. But if your focus is, "I want to be used of God to build the kingdom of God," God is so attracted to you. The Holy Spirit is so attracted to people. What was blocking Simon the sorcerer from having this wonderful power was not that he didn't have enough money, because he was in wrong relationship with people, he didn't want the Holy Spirit for the right reason. But you know, one day there was a woman. There was a woman in the Bible. Jesus found her at a well. Jesus had said, I must needs go through Samaria. He was walking down to Jerusalem from Nazareth, and he decided to go the long way. I'm sorry, I got it backward. He took the shortcut. But Jews wouldn't take the shortcut because they hated Samaritans. But Jesus goes through Samaria, and he finds this woman sitting by the well, and he asks her for a drink of water. And this woman said, you know, you being a Jew, you're a man, why are you asking me for a drink of water? And she said, he said, if you knew who was asking you, you would ask me for a drink of water, and I would give you living water. Now, we know that that living water is the metaphor for the Holy Spirit. Because later, when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So, but get this picture. God lives in the past, and he lives in the past, and he lives in the future. He doesn't just live in the now. So God knew what kind of woman she was. He knew what she would do with the living water if he gave it to her. He knew what she would do with it. And when he began to tell her about her secrets and her sins and her life and things she could not have known, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he began to speak of things that she would not know, or he would not know without a revelation. And he began to tell her, said, ma'am, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, I know that. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And she ran, not feeling condemned, because you don't feel condemned in the presence of Jesus. You feel set free in the presence of Jesus. And she ran, and she began to gather all her friends, and here's what she said. She said, come see a man who told me all I ever did. She was a candidate for the living water because she wanted to bring people to Jesus. You want to be a candidate for the living water? Then you begin to desire to bring people to Jesus. And you become a vessel that the Lord wants to fill. When you become focused on, I want to bring people to Jesus. I want to tell people about the one. And she was filled. And some of you are here this morning and you're feeling empty. Some of you are here this morning and you're feeling empty. See, you need to pray two prayers today. You need to pray, Jesus, use me. Lord, let me set aside my agenda, all the things I'm planning to do with my life and all the things I want to do and where I want to be and all the ways that I think I should raise my kids and all the ways I think I should be married and all the ways I think I should relate to my spouse and God and all the ways I think I should relate to my work or my career. God, I want to put that aside. I want to take on your agenda. Lord, I want you to use me. That's the first prayer. The second prayer is, Lord, fill me up. Fill my cup. How many of you here today are feeling empty? A few weeks ago, months ago, when I got my news that I've talked about, and it became kind of obvious that it didn't look like a miracle was going to happen for me, I made a decision. I said, I got to go get in the presence of God. I've learned one thing, and I have a problem with this, because I turn on God every once in a while. I turn on him, and he just laughs at me. But I turn on him. But I made it. I figured out somewhere in this process, Lord, I'd rather have you as my friend in suffering than to suffer alone. I don't understand why I'm suffering, but God, I want you to be with me. And so Mike Sutton and I drove down to Brooklyn Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York, because they have a Tuesday night prayer meeting. Over 3,000 people attend a prayer meeting every Tuesday night at Brooklyn Tabernacle. And I wanted to get in that prayer meeting. I wasn't going down there pursuing a miracle healing, really. If it happened, I would have been happy. I went down there because I just wanted to feel the presence of God again.
because I remembered what that was like, just to feel the presence of God. And I wanted to get that again. And you know, God just had that evening ordered for me, because they sang all the songs that night. And I'm not, don't start getting a, start music wars here with me. Because bringing back all the old songs is not going to bring back the Holy Spirit. But God knew the songs, and this is why some of us who've been around for a while, we want to hear the old songs, because that's what we first experience God with. Just like this new generation, they're experiencing God with some different music, and it's always going to be that way till the end of time. So I went down there, and I didn't know what they were going to do, really. But they began to sing some, they sang some new songs too that I'd never heard, beautiful stuff. The music down there is just unbelievable. You know, Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir is world famous. But the pastor got up and he closed the service and he led the song, "Fill My Cup, Lord." Let me read the lyrics to you. I'm sorry, I'm feeling real emotional today. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. Holy Spirit, the emotions are not the Holy Spirit, by the way. It's just a reaction. Stick your finger in a light socket, you're going to have a reaction. Some people might react by jumping and screaming. Some people might just weep. I don't know. I tend to weep when I feel the Holy Spirit in my life. But I don't care how you emote, really. Just don't run from it. Don't run from it. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. You know, I wasn't out doing drugs or something, but all of us drift away from God. All of us seek things. We make idols of our jobs, our careers, our children, our hobbies. We make idols of our money. We make idols of our talent. We make idols of our intelligence. We make idols of our material possessions. We make idols of stuff, and making an idol is when you look for something besides God to satisfy you. You have just made an idol. When you look for something besides God to be supreme in your life, when a good thing becomes a God thing, it's an idol. So this verse fit me. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. Even my health, good health cannot satisfy. All kinds of good, healthy people are dissatisfied. And they want to kill themselves, totally healthy. Then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord." Pastor closed with that song, invited us all down front. I went down front and I sang that. "Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole." I want us to, you're going to learn that with us right now. And some of you already know it. B flat. A flat. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. My Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never shall run dry." We're going to sing that again because we're going to learn it together today. You may never want to sing it again. That's fine. Sing one of the new ones. Say the same thing. But you and I, we're going to sing it together. And I believe there's some empty people here in this room. There's some people that feel emotionally, spiritually dry, and the Lord is here today and he wants to meet you, and I want you to use this song as a prayer. Let's sing that verse again. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that did not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never shall run dry."
fill my cup, Lord. I lift thee up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Fill it up and make me whole.
One more time.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.